This is a familiar story. It happens this time every year, and we use different variations from different Gospels to tell this story. But Luke sets it up completely differently than any of the other Gospel writers. He precedes it with two very telling stories that I think he intends to introduce this story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The first of those stories takes place in Jericho. It's about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor. What I mean by that is he collected money for the emperor, and any additional money he could collect, of course, the emperor wanted as much as he could possibly get, but Zacchaeus could collect more and keep it for himself, which is probably why when we meet him, he is described as hated by his neighbors in Jericho. Tax collectors were universally hated by their neighbors because of that system. In essence, Zacchaeus was a slave of the emperor, although he would never have called himself that. And then Jesus comes to town, and Zacchaeus is interested, and he climbs in a tree, and Jesus calls him down and goes to his house, and a miraculous thing happens, a conversion. By the time Jesus leaves, Zacchaeus says, "Half of everything I own, I'm going to give to those people who don't have enough. Half of everything I own. And if I have cheated anyone," don't you know the neighbors were chuckling at that word, "if." "If I have cheated anyone, I will return to them not one, not two, not three, but four times as much." And Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." What was miraculous was we had a conversion of the pocketbook. Much more rare than a conversion of the heart. Conversions of the heart are a dime a dozen, but conversions of the pocketbook are quite rare. And Zacchaeus had a conversion of the pocketbook. Suddenly, Zacchaeus is no longer a slave to the emperor. He has become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it changed absolutely everything about his life. Then Jesus tells a story. It's a story that you can find similar versions in other Gospels, but Jesus tells it, Jesus in Luke tells it differently. In Luke, there is a man who goes off to establish himself as a king. And when he leaves, he gives his slaves, his literal slaves, certain amounts of money, and he expects them to make money. It's kind of like Zacchaeus and the emperor to some extent. He expects them to make more money. Well, when he comes back, he is a king. He's conquered all these lands. He has established himself as king, and now he wants to see how much money these slaves have made. The first one has made a lot. Oh my goodness, he brags on him. The second one's made a lot, he brags on him. But then there's a slave who knows that this king is cruel and greedy. And so he takes the coin he's given and he wraps it in a cloth and he hides it. And the king says, "At least you could have put it in the bank. That way you would have gotten 0.032% interest." But the man said, "No, I knew you were cruel and you were greedy, and I knew that if I happened to lose it somehow, oh my, it would go badly for me." And the king says, "Well, it's going badly for you anyway. Take what this man has and give it to the others, because what people have who don't do what I want them to do will be taken from them and given to those who do what I want them to do." And then Luke ends it with this, and this is not in any of the other Gospels. "And all those people who don't follow me, take them out and slaughter them." Now, unfortunately, in the history of the interpretation of the Gospel of Luke, this has often been described as a story that talks about how God deals with us. God gives us all these gifts, and we're supposed to use them, and we're supposed to make something out of them. And if we don't, they'll be taken away and given away. And if we don't follow God just the way some preacher says, then we'll be slaughtered. You know, I think that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus intended. In fact, I think Jesus was describing the emperor for whom Nicodemus worked, for whom he was a slave expecting to make money. I think Jesus was describing the way the kings of this world operate, who are greedy and cruel, who are interested in prosperity and getting their way, and anyone who gets in their way is cut out. Unfortunately, this same story has also been used sometimes as an example of how we ought to treat other people. The thing that saves it, however, is that Luke is setting us up to see how a real king acts. Not the way the king in the story acts, not the way the emperor acts, but the way Jesus acts with Zacchaeus. The way Jesus acts through this whole Holy Week story. The people in Jerusalem were pretty used to parades. Every time a conquering general would come into town, there would be a parade. If a Roman official came into town, there would be a parade. And of course, this week, because it was Passover, Pontius Pilate was coming into town. He did not live in Jerusalem, heaven forbid. He lived in Caesarea Maritima that was built to be a place where Romans would feel comfortable. And he felt comfortable there, but he had to be in Jerusalem because during the High Holy Days, all the crazies came out. And he had to be there to decide who needed to be crucified, who needed to be flogged, and who could be let go. Believe me, he was going to leave just as soon as the High Holy Days were over. So his parade would have featured a war horse that Pilate would ride in on, his soldiers surrounding him, banners proclaiming the power of the Roman Empire, people shouting praise to the emperor. It would be sort of the equivalent of one of our parades that makes it on television. It would be pretty fancy. It'd be pretty fancy. But on the other side of town, there's another parade going on, and that's the one we're here to talk about today. After Jesus meets Zacchaeus and transforms his life, after Jesus tells this story of a greedy, cruel, and wicked king, Jesus goes to his disciples as they approach the Mount of Olives, and he says, I want you to go and borrow a colt, a small donkey. Now, we already know from Luke that this is the guy who was born in a borrowed space, not a place that his parents owned, but a place that was borrowed where the animals were kept. We who know the rest of the story know that before long he's going to be placed in a borrowed tomb, borrowed from a wealthy follower of his. We also know, those of us who know the rest of the story of this week, that he's living on borrowed time. Doesn't this guy own anything except the clothes on his back? He doesn't even own those. Before the week is out, the Romans will take them off his back, take them away from him, flog him, and crucify him naked. That's how it was done. He wouldn't even own the clothes on his back. So he borrows a donkey. He comes riding in with a group of ragtag followers from Galilee. Believe me, very little attention would have been paid. The greatest attention they would receive would be from those people who were trying to make it up the street while all of these Galileans are waving branches of trees and shouting, Hosanna. And this guy on a donkey is riding down the middle of the street and I can't get to where I'm going. There's a traffic jam. It's interesting what Luke says that they're shouting. You heard it in the scripture reading, but I'm not sure if you noticed that Luke made a little change there. Every time we have Holy Communion, we say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Usually on this day, on Palm Sunday, we shout, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But Luke changes that. Luke says, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. What? This Galilean rabbi is a king? He's not at all like the king in the story. He's not at all like the emperor that Zacchaeus serves. He's not at all like the emperor that Pilate serves, or Pilate, who is a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor again, a slave of the emperor, although Pilate would never admit to that. Jesus is the only one in this story who is free to do what God is calling him to do. And what is God calling him to do? God is calling him to be the kind of king who does not ride in on a war horse, but rides in on a donkey, a borrowed donkey at that, a king who owns absolutely nothing, a king whose followers will betray him and deny him and desert him, a king who will confront the power of the Roman Empire not with swords, not with spears, not with knives, not with arrows, not even with a shield, but with the overwhelming, powerful, life-transforming love of God. This is not a king who slaughters those who don't follow him. This is a king who prays forgiveness for those who drive spikes through his wrist. This is a different kind of king. This is the kind of king that no one has ever seen before. This is the kind of king who is free enough to trust in God, whose final loyalty is in no emperor, no governor, no government, but whose final trust is in God and is so deeply embedded in God that he is willing to take his parade not just into the city, but into the courtroom and all the way to the cross. Now, the question this week, of course, is which parade are we going to be a part of? That other parade is really attractive. I mean, all the important people are there. All the people we're supposed to look up to are there at Pilate's parade. All the people who are anybody, all the people who have money, all the people who have power, all the people who have influence are there. And the only people at Jesus' parade are a bunch of ragtag Galileans and other hangers-on who will shout Hosanna on Sunday and then crucify him later in the week. I don't take this invitation lightly, because not only did Jesus go to the cross, but as far as we know of his inner circle, every single one of them but one died for their faith. So the invitation to join Jesus' parade is not an easy one to extend or an easy one to accept. It's so much easier to accept Pilate's invitation to Pilate's parade. I guess it depends on who you want to be owned by. Do you want to be a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor, of the powers that be, or do you want to be freed to serve God as a follower of Jesus? And that's not just the choice this week. That's the choice every week, every day, every morning that we arise. Jesus is leading a parade from this place out into the world. And it includes all those people who aren't here, who might not feel welcome here. All those people who don't feel welcome in their own homes, in their own societies. That's his parade. And he's leading it through the world. The question is, which parade are we going to join?